Lane and Allison in the morning. 96.3 WDBD. Today's best hits without the rap. 96.3 WDBD.
Therapy Thursday.
Analysis from someone who really cares.
96.3 WDBD.
What's on your mind? We'd really like to hear.
He's the best dude on earth. Dr. Stephen Craig, psychologist, Birmingham, Michigan. Check him out online, drstephencraig.com. And he's here looking at the Eddie Bauer catalog with us.
Yeah.
As we get ready to do a little therapy.
Do I never look as calm and cool as these
That's
guys?
What the Eddie Bauer Christmas catalog does.
Yeah, but I could get this stuff. I wouldn't look, you know.
I don't know.
I'd look
you
all
might.
Uptight and all, you know, wrinkly.
Get one of those little black labs.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a therapist.
Hey, what do therapists do when they need a therapist?
They check with Allison.
No. Oh, that does seem right.
No,
that's a good idea.
No.
Yay!
So, this is kind of an interesting therapy.
Dear Blaine, Allison, and Dana, my husband and I are having a disagreement about how to discipline our son. Will you please see if Dr. Craig will help us with this? We have three children, and our oldest is 16. Last week, he came home at 11:30 on a Saturday night when his curfew is 11. He didn't call or text us to let us know he would be late, and we had no idea where he was. When we questioned him about it, his answer was completely ridiculous. He told us that his friends were driving, and they left late and made some stops dropping off other kids, so it wasn't his fault. He also said his phone was in his bag, which was in the trunk, so he couldn't call us or text us. My husband has strong feelings about discipline and feels we should nip this in the bud quickly and give him a significant consequence, like no gaming or TV for a month and no going out with his friends. His feeling is that the reason really doesn't matter. All that matters is whether he gets home on time or not. The rest is up to him. He doesn't want to hear how or why. He feels that we have to hold him accountable for his results and that if we get caught up in the excuses, we will get manipulated. As he told my son, there is no plan to or tried to do. There is only do or don't do. He says the real world only measures people on their results, and we have to teach him how to live up to that. I, on the other hand, believe him that he tried and think we ought to give him a break. He is a great kid and good quality friends and terrific grades. I do agree that his excuse is not all that good, but we do have to make him pay for the immaturity and irresponsibility of his friends. Do we have to make him pay for that? I think we should give him a warning. My husband tells me I'm babying him and setting a terrible precedent. What do I do here? I don't want to argue with my husband, but I also don't want my son to feel afraid to make a mistake. He already tells us that he is sometimes afraid to tell us things because of how we overreact. Is there a middle ground? Help Leslie.
313-298-9630. If you'd like to be a junior psychologist and help out, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you've been through something similar to this. My first reaction is that dad is really kind of overdoing it here. I think he's being very harsh. Really, you're going to stop him from gaming or hanging out with his friends for a month for being a half hour late? So 11:30 is a bad thing on a Saturday night instead of 11? He's 16. It sounds like he's been pretty straight up with you for the most part. Mom says good quality friends, terrific grades. I'd be upset. I've got a daughter who's 16. If she said she was going to be home at 11 and didn't get home at 11:30, there would be hell to pay. But I'm not going to tell her she can't hang out with her friends for a month or can't play video games or can't do any of the things that she enjoys doing. You have a conversation. You have a talk. But you don't act like this is Armageddon. That's my take.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I had friends growing up whose parents were crazy strict, and it usually produced a less than desirable result. All that overparenting actually made their kids act
even worse.
When I think about my friends who had the strictest parents, those were the friends that went the craziest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're late, if this is the first time you've ever been late, I just don't know why you don't sit down and say, this doesn't happen again.
Right.
Because I don't think you're letting them off the hook. I do think you have to give punishments and stick to them. You know, right. I'm all for keeping the children down.
Absolutely.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the first incident should be a conversation. This doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you say.
And you keep your phone in your pocket at all times so I can contact you.
The next time you ask your friends to pull the car over, the next time you call me from where you are and you say, my friends aren't going to leave yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next time we have this conversation, then what he wants to do seems fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you got off the first time, and now you're making me a sucker by doing it a second time. But it sounds like he wouldn't do it a second time. And Dad's going way off the deep end, and that can produce negative results. He's trying to create this culture of responsibility, and he may be causing more damage than he is creating a responsible son.
Dana.
My parents were crazy strict, so I agree that when you go crazy strict on people, it tends to get you get a negative result. I think that they do need to have a conversation. I'm torn about, I don't think grounding for a month. I think maybe a weekend of grounding of something needs to be, something needs to be taken away to set a precedent. But I do think there's a conversation. And the next time you tell your friends, hey, I need to be dropped off by this time. If you're not leaving, then you call your friend, your mother and father, say, my friends aren't leaving. Can you come get me?
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of responsibility in there.
And at that point, too, then he's at least being proactive. I said I'd be home by 11.
Yep.
You can't get me home by 11. Fine. I'll call my mom and dad. They'll come pick me up. Dana's got us on in Plymouth. What do you think? It's Therapy Thursday.
Oh, you know, what really grabbed me the most, and I had to pick up my phone and call, is that he said that he's acting immature. He is a kid.
Yeah.
I have a 14-year-old kid myself. My son is 14 years old.
Yeah.
So he's made little things like this before, and he came up with excuses. And you know what? I thought that they were a little cheesy, but the kid gets great grades. He's got good judgment. He's involved in sports. He's involved in other things. And I think that Dad is just totally overreacting.
And Dana, if this is the first time, it's possible he never did it before and he may never do it again. So it's possible that just a conversation will be enough to set him straight. He may already know walking in that door what he's going to do and how he's going to problem solve next time. He may already know that on his own.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't want him cringing every time that he walks
exactly
in the door and be a fear, you know, out of fear.
Yeah, we want to be, the thing is, Dana, I think you nailed it. You want to be accessible. I want my kids to come up to me and tell me when they've screwed up. And I've told them 1,000 times, like, guys, if you make a mistake, if you do something that's totally wrong, own it. Own it up front. Do it then. Don't let me find out later, because if I find out later, it's not going to be pretty. Matt's in Dearborn. Matt, you say be the parent and not their friend.
Yes. Kids have enough friends. You know, the biggest problem we have in this country right now is that the kids have more control than the parents do. The parents are so afraid to discipline their kids, it's getting out of hand.
And I'd agree with you, Matt. I would absolutely agree with you.
I got 4 kids, and I went through a divorce. I was the parent. The other one was their friend. And my daughter came to me when she was 14 years old. She said, do you know what, Dad? You never have changed the way you've disciplined. We always know that this is how it is. If we don't come up with calling in or telling you what's going on and you find out about it and we lied, we're in trouble, period. And that's the way it needs to be. It's gotten so out of hand because this will lead into something else, and then it gets the same habit that's going to work. You know,
hey, Matt,
kids nowadays will just not show up or come in late, and it gets to be a habit.
Matt, what would you do if you were the dad here?
Well, punish him for the weekend, you know. No TV, no gaming or whatever for the weekend, and tell him, look, this is, you know, I don't like this as much as you do, but this is an example. You need to be the responsible one here. I've given you every opportunity. You have a phone. Your friends have a phone. It doesn't matter. You could have picked up or texted from anybody's phone in the car, plain and simple.
So, but you wouldn't punish him for a month, like
no,
Dad
not
is
for
suggesting.
A month, okay. But for a weekend, and you know, completely cut off from everything for the weekend, and say, look, this is how this is, and you know, they'll realize that, hey, you know, if he was with 4 other people in the car, you can't tell me that 4 other people in the car did not have a phone.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think this is which is why I think maybe a conversation is good enough. Christy in the office says, make him pay the extra half hour back next Saturday. He comes home at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a case because if you remember being a kid yourself, sometimes you don't want to look uncool to your friends.
Right.
So you kind of go with the flow, even though inside you're panicking because you're like, oh my God, every minute that goes by, I know this is wrong. That's why I'm saying he might have already walked in that door knowing how he's going to do it differently next time.
Yeah.
But about not asking, hey, can I borrow your phone to call my mom? That seems normal to us because we're grown-ups. To kids, his brain may say, well, that's going to make me look
like a loser.
Maybe.
You might be right. Hey, Laura's got us on in Madison Heights, and you think mom and dad need to compromise?
Well, the the thing is, the whole point of the letter is that they don't agree. They need to sit down and discuss what they're willing to compromise with each other and come up with a plan before they even talk to the kid. Kids smell indecision quickly. And if they think that they can split the two of you and get somewhere that way, they will in a heartbeat.
Oh, so you've seen Bailey and Colin in action.
I have two of my own.
Yeah.
Believe me, they will
divide and conquer.
Oh, yeah, it works.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, I also wanted to say that my mother-in-law gave me some of the best advice as a parent that I have ever heard, and it's very simple. Don't ever let no mean maybe.
Right.
And if you don't address it the first time, you've thrown that maybe out there.
Yeah, you have. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laura. All right, Dr. Steve, how should this be handled? What is the real problem here?
Well, I was looking through the Eddie Bauer catalog here. It doesn't have the answer.
It doesn't
have the answer.
Weird. Wow. And Angelie has answered everything.
Frantically flipping
through. That little chocolate lab on page 54 sure looks good.
Just get the flannel shirt and everything will be by. I agree a lot with, I think it was Laura here at the end, but I would say it this way, that it's about really figuring out what the goal is here. And when you read this email, or as I was listening to it, I agree, the parents aren't on the same page, but I also think they don't even know what the goal is here.
Right.
Because the goal is not find the perfect punishment. The goal isn't, you know, what's the best discipline. The goal isn't even avoid manipulation. When you're parenting your kid, and it's also not outdo your spouse, I got the right answer.
Right.
The goal isn't even get the perfect outcome. Because even though the outcome is important, we want them to come home at time and everything, the ultimate goal is to create a good, repeatable process. You want your kid to be mature, responsible, and to think things through in a good way, because there's going to be all sorts of other things coming up. And if we just say something about what this dad had said, you know, all that matters is that you're home, you do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that doesn't help them figure out how to go through the whole process of making that get there.
Okay.
I mean, there's lots of examples of this. You know, people think that outcome is king, that, you know, all that matters is what you've done. But really, the process you use is king, and the outcome is a byproduct. So if I think about it this way, that I'll use some sports analogies here. So if Allison starts to, I thought you were going to glaze over.
No.
Right. You know, you always see like the Lions. So, or it's a football team. They have their two-minute drill. They get the ball. They move all the way down the field. They do 10 different plays. They get down on the last second. They throw a pass that gets tipped away.
Right.
The next day, everyone critiques. Why did you do that?
Yeah, what
did
how
you
could do Calvin wrong? Drop that?
Yeah, and you did it wrong. And the coach says, well, I do the same exact thing the next day. And that's people are outraged.
They get mad at the Schwartz.
Right. You shouldn't do this. But the problem is they've picked a process that works, and the majority of the time that process is going to work. Just because it didn't get the outcome this time, I bet if we did it 100 times, this process would work way more than your outcome focus, which is don't do a pass, so we'll do a run. Oh, the run didn't work, we'll do a screen pass. That didn't work, we'll do a draw.
I'll explain that to you later.
No, what I'm enjoying is I'm totally getting it.
Right.
I am.
but think of it in other examples. There's always people, I'm always amazed at these people who work in like a factory where the factory is a slave to the process. In an emergency, do this, blah, 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 blah. Think through. The whole system gets set up to do these processes and everything because that's how we get the best outcome. Instead of just, you know, like in an emergency, well, we're going to get out of the building. You know, that's the outcome, but you have to have a process that you use to get there.
And this process is more about the communication between the son and the parents.
Right.
And the parents have to, you know, maybe dad feels a little stronger one way and mom feels a little less, you know, strict about it. But there needs to be a conversation that, hey, listen, we expect you to be home at 11 o'clock.
I would want the parents, if they're in my office, I would say, first of all, we have to get you on the same page.
Right.
But before we even do that, we have to get you on the same page about what it is we're trying to build here.
Gotcha.
And we're trying to build a process so that your kid knows whether it's the people are late in the car, the party's changing, something. I don't care what it is. I want your kid. Self-esteem is not created by having perfect outcomes.
Right.
It's by having a good process that I know what to do in any circumstance, no matter what. And so
that's big right there.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
That was really big.
People think it's the other way around.
Right.
That if the kid wins every time, they have great self-esteem, but if they don't know how they won,
right,
they don't know how to repeat it.
Then what's the point?
Then they're empty.
Right.
But they, you know, they have the trophy.
Right.
So we're trying to create, you parents, we're trying to create a repeatable process so that your kid is comfortable and knows I can handle anything. So get on the same page about what you're trying to do here and recognize that everybody in the world who's successful is successful because of the process they use, mm-hmm. not the outcomes. Now, I'm not saying outcomes don't matter. I'm just saying that if you have a good process,
Chances are you'll have a better outcome.
In the long run, you'll have better outcomes. Yeah. So talk to him about what's the best process to use here, whether it's keep your phone in your pocket or right. call or do whatever. Now, what could you have done if there's 10 steps to do at any time? What is the first one you do? What is the second?
Right.
What is the third? Okay, well, maybe number 10 didn't work out because you still were late, but we want to hear what all the steps were that you used to get there. And we'll reward you for doing
the right thing.
The 9 out of 10.
Right.
If it didn't work, okay, you know what? Tomorrow you got to take out the garbage early,
or something like that. No, that makes sense.
Rather than this whole outcome thing that we're not going to get it. They're not learning anything.
You can check them out online, drstephencraig.com, Craig Counseling Services in Birmingham. Therapy Thursday with Dr. Stephen Craig on 96.3 WDVD.
Blaine and Ellison in the morning, 96.3 WDVD.